from you tonight in the mind. Let's open our mouth. Pray. Lord, open my eyes to see you. Open my understanding to see you. Open my eyes to see you. Open my understanding to see you. Let my spirit align with your spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help me, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. So shall it be. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Let's celebrate the Lord Jesus. Please clap your hand for the Lord. I believe you are not here accidentally. Can you jump those hands for the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. The weather is cold today, and I believe some are taking the advantage of that weather. But remember, you are spirit being. You have a soul, and you live in a body. So begin to act and behave like a spirit being. The Lord, God Almighty, will give you the victory that is due to you in Jesus' mighty name. Can you say good amen? I want a louder amen. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally, you are God. Eternally, you are. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally, you are God. Eternally, you are. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally, you are God. Eternally, you are. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally, you are God. Eternally, oh, eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally,
eternally, you are God.
Eternally, you are King of Kings. Now let's go.
Oh, eternally, you are King of Kings. Eternally, you are Lord of Lords. Eternally, eternally, you are God.
You are King of Kings.
Eternally, you are King of Kings.
Eternally,
you are Lord of Lords. Eternally, eternally, you are God.
You are so beautiful.
Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious.
Eternally, you are God.
Lift your voice one more time.
Eternally, you are beautiful.
Father, tonight we want to thank you for the reality of your presence. Ora shatabala. Oh, thank you, Lord. Welcome, 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 Holy Spirit. Father, thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you to our presence. We welcome you. We welcome you. Thank you for what you are doing and your presence in this house and what you will do tonight. We bless your name. We worship you. Let the impact be everlasting and eternal in our lives in Jesus' name. Speak your word to us and let our life be transformed for good. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let the church say good amen. I said a good amen. A better amen. Are you ready for the word of the Lord? Somebody shout hallelujah. Celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ and have your seat. God bless you. Amen. For the past couple of weeks now, I have been treating topics that are so important to our destiny. I remember one of the teachings that said wisdom for generational impact. So God began to prepare us for generational impact. I remember another sermon that says deception deliverance and delivery. I remember another sermon that says my root is my reality. And I remember another sermon that says manifestation and all that. So God is entrusting you and I with the future that he painted in the scripture, and we need to understand these things very carefully and process them, believe them, consume them, and begin to manifest them. And so that's why we don't want to take it lightly or jokingly the way the words are coming to us. So let's get ourselves equipped with these words. Don't just listen to them in the church, not in the service. Request for the record. That's why we are recording the sermons. Wisdom for generational impact is listened to by 722 people already, because the software is showing us how many people are downloading it. So 722 people have already listened to the sermon I preach here on this altar. So if people outside are listening to it, may you not miss it in the name of Jesus. Okay, so today I want to speak quickly on what I titled Investment, a Yardstick for Generational Impact. Investment, a yardstick for generational impact. I already made up my mind tonight that I wanted us to pray. And I was so touched in my heart, in my spirit, and I was saying, should we not pray against the affliction of the wicked in our lives? I was speaking with the Holy Spirit in my prayer room.
And I was preparing. I was saying, please, I need this place to be coordinated. I don't want distraction. I was praying and I was asking the Lord that there should be prayer tonight against the affliction of the wicked. So, as a pastor, tonight, my heart desires that we pray against the affliction of the enemy. So while I was rounding up, I said, okay, let me start praying. I need to thank the Lord first, worship Him for all the experience and the testimonies we had at the course of the week. Then the Holy Spirit said, this is what to talk about. So I quickly grabbed my jotter, my pen and everything. I said, okay. And then when He began to explain to me, I burst into tears. I said, why do you tell me things like this? These are miseries. I burst into tears because these are things I've never read in any man's book, nor anybody preach on earth, that I've come across the material. So when He entrusts me with words like this, I don't take them for just a preaching. I pray today the word will make impact in your life in Jesus' name. Can you help me with good amen, please? Can you help me with a louder one? Genesis chapter 2. It looked like God kept taking us back to the beginning of the world. Keep taking us back to the beginning of creation, because all things started there. Genesis chapter 2. Mandi ketopara. Kikiri bidi mandi. Kuribedima satalaba kidada dosetiata. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Yegegegedebelege. Thank you, Lord. I feel your presence, Lord. Genesis 2. I want to run quickly. We are reading 18 verses there. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which He had created and made. This is the history of heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and heavens. I would love to have strings at this time. The anointing is so strong in the house. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had caused, O Shabala, Medeke Dibri Likatabarada, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went out from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed the man of dust, of the dust of the ground, and breathed into the nostril of the breath of life, and the man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in the Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted and became four river heads. The name of the first is Pishon. It is one of which skirts the whole land of Avila, where there is gold. And the gold of the land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one which goes around the land of Cush. The name of the third river is Idikel. It is the one which goes toward the east of Assyria. The fourth river is the river Euphrates. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of the good and evil shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.
May the Lord bless the reading of his word tonight in Jesus' name. Please, I want a better amen. The mystical business part of God is one of the deepest principles that governs heaven and earth to keep God relevant in the sight and sense of all creation. I'll come back again. The mystical business part of God, the mystical business part of God, is one of the deepest principles that governs the heaven and earth to keep God relevant in the sight and sense of all creation. The mystical business part of God, the mystical business part of God, remains the deepest principle that governs the heaven and the earth and keep God even relevant to all the creation he has made. In other words, we are relevant before our God today because of the level of the mystical business part of him. Amen. That is so cold. Amen. That is lukewarm. Amen. So the mystical business part of God, the mystical business part of God, when you say something is mystical, it means it's beyond human's comprehension. So the beyond human comprehension business part of God is one of the deepest principle that governs heaven and earth and keep God relevant. The same mystical keep God relevant in the sight of all his creation. I pray for somebody here. The grace for such mystical revelation shall come upon you for eternal relevance in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, I hear you. I'm coming. Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do with you. This is so beautiful. Shakada barayada. God created all things he created and invested in the potential of and invest in the potential of multiplication and value to be asset. Somebody didn't hear what I said just now. God created all things he created and invest in the potential of multiplication and value in those creation to become asset. I come again. Everything that God created, he invested in them the potential of multiplication and value to make them asset. Everything God made, he put in them potential of multiplication and he made them an asset for himself. Oh la bada sikideba. Did God not make the three? He made a seed and invested life hidden inside the seed, which is a potential for multiplication. And a seed goes into the ground because of the multiplication potential in that seed. It comes out as a tree and it gives God back thousands of seed. Read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will see this pattern in God. Every creation of his. While I was preparing, I was considering, what about stone? Stone don't have life. I said, but stone also can be divided into faces and structures and looks and sizes. Haven't you seen where men use stone
to beautify the house of God. Have you seen? I mean, as he said, I put the potential in that. As ordinary as water may look to you, there is a potential of multiplication in water. And God put a relevance upon water that no man can survive without water. What about the air? Potential. I'm speaking on investment, a yardstick to generational impact. Power is good for generational impact. Wisdom is good for generational impact. But looking from God's side, even from the genesis of our life, even from the beginning of our creation, this was the mystical mystery that was hidden to the generation of men. And then we found out that from all way back, even from the idea, God has a business plan in mind before creating anything. Okay, somebody say, what am I saying? Didn't you read in that verse that God, the Bible says, and God finished his work? And then after, this is the account of the work God did. A walk. He keep talking about work. After all the work, then he reminded us that then God created a garden, and God put a man in the garden to tend and to keep it. Now, work is different from investment. God knew how to work. He taught us how to work. He gave us strength to work. But far beyond working, you will see behind every work of God the mystical business part of me, which is investment. So if you don't understand, Shabarada Kuribidibadantayala, God created man and invested in him his nature. On Sunday, we were looking at the nature of God for creation, for creativity. We were looking at the nature of God for eternity in man. The breath of life that he put into the man, which is the dust. Do you think he put it there for nothing? God gave us iron ore. He invested wisdom in a man, and they built a plane. God gave us men, invested knowledge into them. They were able to open up humans and do operation within a human, open up him, go into the intestine, go into lungs, go into the organs, have the ability to replace dead organ in men. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. Everything he created, he put in them potential for multiplication and to make them assets to himself. And if you go back to the first statement I made, that is why God remains relevant in the sight of all creation. Praise the Lord. The parable of the 10 virgins, the parable of the sower, the parable of the talents are all pointing to the business part of God who crave for profit. Why did you think he reacted to the only servant who buried his own talent? He expected profit from him. If I'm going to use a layman business word, God is a businessman.
Shapata palagadia. Leketubridi masata balaya.
God is a business being. Five virgins went in, the other five could not go in because they didn't get enough for themselves. He said he invested in a land. Some fell on the wrong path, some fell on the right path. And he was so happy about the one that fell on the good ground that produced 30, 60, and 100. Why do you think God keep talking about the kingdom of God being a place of investment?
This is the part we need to make emphasis on, and understanding the God who made you as a business being, who also has invested in all creation, will make you know how to approach Him and to handle everything that has been given unto you.
Some men who got this secret also made long-lasting impact. There are men who found out the mystical business part of God and hold on to it and make a long-lasting impact that you and I are part of today. I want to pray for somebody right now. That grace to make generational impact in your days, and even after you have long gone, the grace is coming upon you tonight in Jesus' name. Didn't you see Abraham? Abraham invested Isaac to God. He invested Isaac, and God gave him back covenant of blessing. Man who discover, men who discover the importance of investment, the secret, the mystical business part of God, they decided also to rise up and invest, because the nature of God in them that revealed the secret of God to them. How was God able to become the owner of 7.5 billion humans on earth? And well, the Bible says he created one and he gave that one a helpmate. How did one and two become 7.5 billion investment? Somebody say investment. So these are few men who discovered that if we are also going to be relevant in our lifetime, and even after we have long gone, is to invest. And so Abraham offered God, not offering, but investment of Isaac, the only begotten son he has, the most precious thing to him. He invested in the kingdom of God, and God said, no. The profit you are going to make because of this investment is to enter into the covenant of blessing that you will never finish eating, even after you have long gone. You will make impact in this kingdom. I love a good amen. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally. Eternally. Just raise your hand up where you sit down there. Just worship him. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally. Abraham invested Isaac, and he got an everlasting, eternal, generational profit
for himself.
Didn't you read your Bible that Abraham invested in well digging, humanitarian service? And after Abraham had long gone, the Bible says Isaac came to a place and he found the wells dug by his father Abraham, where people, even after Abraham had long gone, still come and fetch water and drink and have life. And they said, oh, this well was dug by Abraham. Some men found out this mystical business path of God, and they key into it, and they live their life in the form of investment. He gave Isaac, God gave him covenant of blessing. He gave humanitarian service by digging wells for people to have access to water, and his name was immortalized. Abraham dug this well for us. Somebody is here. You have been running Eta Sketa to feed your mouth only. After tonight meeting, the wisdom and the grace for an investment that will lead you to a generational and eternal profiting is coming upon you in the name of Jesus. So you see, I won't repeat the sermon on Sunday. Those who don't come to midweek service, that's their problem. I won't repeat it. Every service is important to God. Our coming to church is an investment. You can't get it a blessing if you don't be part of it. No. You make profit from what you are invested in. Abraham got covenant from God by investing Isaac. Abraham got in his name immortalized by humanitarian service. Did you know what Abraham did again? He invested in properties. Abraham invested in properties. So when Abraham's wife died, Sarah, he said, no, I won't just bury my wife in a public cemetery. I need to buy a land that anytime anyone die, even me or my wife or any of my children die, they should bury them in that land. And the land was named after Abraham. Amen. Abraham invested in properties. So even after he had long gone, there is a city. There's a place in a town that when they mention every landowner, the name of Abraham pop up. This land belongs to Abraham. And so that was how when he died, they were able to take his corpse and buried him there. Ha. Tonight's message will change your life forever. In the name of Jesus. Because I heard it from the Lord. Abraham invested Isaac, invest in humanitarian side by digging the well, invested in what? Properties. Do you know the last thing I will bring out tonight that Abraham invested in? He invested in altar. Didn't you read your Bible that anywhere Abraham get to, he built an altar unto the Lord? Any man who builds altar for God automatically attract eternal honor to their lives. Build an altar unto the Lord. Anywhere they get to, they build an altar unto the Lord. Anywhere he gets to, he build an altar. So when they come, they say, Abraham did this. Abraham did this. This place is a place Abraham has met with God. It becomes a temple. That place Abraham put stones together. They say, and he will lay up stones in order to be a memorial that God met with them in that place. Abraham was a man who was conscious of building an altar unto the Lord. Is it not amazing that up until now,
after centuries, the name Abraham remains fresh in our memory as if we met him yesterday, because of investment that he made in the kingdom. I pray you will not die just without impact on this generation, in the name of Jesus. After centuries, Abraham's name remained fresh in our memory. When I say Abraham, don't you see it like somebody you know? It's like somebody you stay in the house with. The name Abraham doesn't look like a man who died before Jesus came to this earth. Do you know how many years? We can't even calculate right. The least you can talk about is Abraham died 16,000 years ago. And you didn't even get the calculation with that. 16,000, because he died before the days of Abraham, David. And the name remains fresh. Why? Not because he's a man. Not because he's a Jew. No. Not because he's old. No. Not because he was a Christian. No. Abraham got himself this name. Got himself eternal value and impact his own generation and the generation after him. By what? Investment. The mystical business part of God, which is in you and I. You will not be wasted in the name of Jesus. Are you getting something tonight? Number two, another man who caught that vision was Isaac the son. Didn't you read your Bible that an Isaac sowed into the land? Isaac invested in agriculture. And in the days of famine, Isaac was able to save and deliver the people from dying of hunger. Shatalabadadia. Isaac invested in agriculture. He planted and he fed his generation in the midst of famine. Oh, you shall be a solution to this generation in the mighty name of Jesus. Did you remember that Isaac also dug a well and he named it Rehoboth? He dug a well. He saw his father's investment. He didn't allow the father's investment to crash. He dug more. So Isaac also invested in humanitarian service that made his name to be immortalized. Number three, Isaac also invested in altars. He also built altars unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. I quickly go to the man Jacob. Jacob also, at least if you don't remember, you remember that when Jacob had an encounter with God in Bethel, he gathered stone for an altar. Abraham invested, Jacob invested in altars. Invested in altars. And of course you can see the life of Abraham. He battered the 12 tribes of Israel. God made the 12 children he gave birth to be eternally relevant because he invested in altars. Number two thing that Jacob invested in is prophecies into people's life. Abraham began to prophesy into the life of his children, investing words of prophecy, declaring what the future will say, determining what their tomorrow will be. Even after thousands of years Jacob had left, they say our father Jacob said about this person. Prophecies. Jacob invested prophecies in the life of his children to make generational impact. Praise the Lord. Please, are we together? Are we together? Joseph had all the opportunity Joseph had all the opportunity. But didn't you read in your Bible that a king came immediately after the death of the Pharaoh who knew Joseph? There was nothing that had eternal value to be pointed to in Joseph's life. He had all the opportunity. He had access to their government. But the Bible says, a king came. The Pharaoh who came did not know Joseph. Abba, immediately. So Joseph had the opportunity, like you and I, but he never invested in anything eternal. And so that was how all his labor in the days of the Pharaoh that knew him was wasted, because he didn't invest. No altar, no personal humanitarian service, no personal investment. All he did was he managed the food of Egypt and helped them disperse it. That's all. Nothing of his own. He didn't invest in agriculture. He didn't invest in property. He didn't invest in altars. Nothing about him that his father, forefathers did. And so they said the next Pharaoh did not recognize him. Didn't you know that if Joseph had bought land and built mansions and houses and named it after his name, at least in the land of Egypt, the children of Israel would have found refuge? But he didn't do that. So the next Pharaoh recognized nothing of eternal value in their life, and they put them in captivity. You will not make such mistake in the name of Jesus. What is wrong with you? I said you will make such mistake. Are you getting something tonight? The next Pharaoh that came, the Bible said didn't know Joseph. So it means that you can do great rescue like that, the way Joseph rescued them from 7 years famine, but it doesn't have eternal value because altar is not involved, because personal sacrifice is not involved, because personal investment is not involved. Any investment that does not comprise of altar, it will not last. Oh my goodness, I don't think you are listening to me. I say any investment that you have that an altar is not involved in, it does not have eternal value. Share the back.
I know a God who is mercy for and kind, faithful and gracious. I'm the apple of his eyes, the thought that fills his heart every morning, noon and night. He loved me when I didn't care, but was patient till I came running back into his arms. Look how you turn my life around, make me a shining star, his glory to reveal. Let's sing. I will worship forever, Lord, forever, because this God is too beautiful. I will worship forever, Lord, forever, because this God.
When you invest in a land, your name is immortalized. When you invest in humanitarian service, your name is immortalized. When you invest in properties, your name retains honor and is referred to. When you invest in altar, you have eternal value. Amen. Am I making sense to you tonight? Are you sure? So Joseph had the opportunity, no investment in properties, to keep his name relevant, no humanitarian service of himself, to immortalize him, no altar for eternal value. So his life, instead of preserving his own generation and the next, put the generation into captivity of 430 years because he failed to invest. David invested in men. Invested in properties. Invested in altars. Hashapaka dabalayada. Men who made eternal and everlasting impact are men who invest. Hey. David invested in men and he raised armies of generals. David invested in a property. Everywhere he goes to, he asks for a land. Not just city of David. There are many cities David got for himself. At least if you don't know any, you know the city of David. His name was forced to be reckoned with because he had cities invested. He has lands and properties. If you are going to be everlasting, eternally immortalized, these are deep secrets. Deep secret from the nature of God in you that you must follow. Invested in altar. And you remember when I taught you here the wisdom for generational impact? It was the investment in the altar that made God give David the covenant of mercy forever. It was the same in the altar that David invested in that gave David the throne of Israel forever. Investment, the yardstick for generational impact. Amen. Praise the Lord. The last person I'm going to talk about, because of our time, Jesus Christ invested in the disciples. 12 men turned the world upside down for him. Didn't you see that Jesus invested the Holy Ghost in you and I so that souls will be won on a daily basis? Today, every blessed day, heaven record people coming to Jesus because of the investment of the Holy Spirit in man. He invested his glory in John 17:21 in our lives. And look at it. God invested the life of Jesus to save the generation of man. And today heavens are recording daily profiting in the investment of Jesus' life for humanity. What are you investing in now? What are you investing in? What do you plan to invest in? It's been a while that I've been to our property in Oshogbo. I paid some money about 3 years ago now. And the community decided to print receipt some months, maybe 2 months ago. And while they were giving people, because I gave them money for the electric pole to make sure that light get to that environment. So, but recently, after 3 years, I've not been there. But they were distributing receipts to people who paid the money. You know what happened? My name pop up. And somebody who knew me among them say, "Oh, okay. So he has a land." In the meeting of landlords, my name came out 3 years after. And then they say, "Oh, this one is for pastor." When you invest in land, it immortalizes your name. My question is, what are you investing in now? Is it the food to eat and waste in the toilet? What are you investing in now? Is there any altar you are investing in? Or it's just about you and your home? If you are going to make generational impact and eternal profiting, you must invest in altars. Is there any generational impact? Is there any value adding services to give you impact, like that of Paul, who read books and came back as a man of wisdom? In what are you investing right now? Are you investing into your today? Do you think and imagine your tomorrow? What are you investing in? Men who made generational impact invested not only in their today, they invested in their tomorrow. And their name were immortalized. If all you are thinking of right now is food, 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 you are going to be wasted in this generation without anybody recognizing you. You must invest. God invested and he remains eternally valuable in the sight of all creation, because no man can deny that God has not invested life in him, wisdom in him, potential in him. If you are not profiting, you are of no use to God. You are a bad investment yourself. If after God give you all this Holy Spirit, you speak all the tongues you can speak, you pray all the prayer you can pray, and you are not bearing fruit for the kingdom of God, you yourself, you are a bad investment. And don't forget, he said, cast them out into darkness where there are dogs, because they don't have any value or usefulness in this kingdom. As long as they refuse to produce profit for the kingdom, they are bad investment. I'm asking you tonight, what investment are you making? Are you investing in your stomach? Or you are investing to have your name immortalized? Or you are investing
in the altar of God to give you eternal value and eternal profiting. The things God invested in us on earth, keep producing, multiplying it day by day. And that's why the name of God remains immortalized. And that's why the name of God has eternal value. And that's why God will remain relevant, because he has invested his spirit in you, his wisdom in you, and his capital is written all over the place. So nothing you look into today, you will see God there. How many things can we look into to mention your name? This generation, is there any way you die today and then they'll say, oh, brother so-so, sister so-so died? Oh my God. Abraham died, his name remained relevant. Isaac died, his name remained relevant. Jacob died, his name remained relevant. Joseph died, nobody remember him again. David died, his name remained relevant. Jesus died, he remained relevant even 2,000 years after. And he will be there forever, because he invested his life and his glory and his spirit. The kingdom is about investment. There is no business being greater than God. God is the greatest business being that ever lived. Because everything he does, who tell you? He said, give and it shall be given unto you. You don't give, I'm not giving you nothing. Good measure, shaking together, pressed down, running overflow, shall men give unto you. You don't give, I won't open the windows of heaven. God is a business being. Until you understand him that you don't give, he doesn't give back, you won't make any impact and you'll be denied of the blessings you have. I know people say we are blessed. I know. We are blessed by the investment he put in us. It will take you to give for the investment to bring profit in your life. What again do you want him to do? What blessing is greater than him investing his own life into you, breathing the spirit of God in you? What again? What blessing do you want more than that? It takes you to respond by giving to the kingdom. It takes you by investing in the altar for you to have eternal value. No investment, no profiting. No pain, there won't be gain. This kingdom is likened to a farmer, a sower who must sow. You have the land, you refuse to sow, you will get nothing to harvest from it. I'm pleading to you today. Today's sermon is not what you hear and sit down. What are you doing to immortalize your name? What's your plan to immortalize your name? What's your plan? Shata Paraya. John G. Lakes immortalized his name by miracles. Oral Roberts immortalized his name by miracle. Kenneth Higgins immortalized his name by miracles and material written by the downloading of the wisdom that God has put in them. I want to tell you today, from the days of Kenneth Higgins, there is no pastor who has made any impact who has not eaten out of the investment of Kenneth Higgins. Every pastor that make impact from that day and salt are men who have eaten, consumed the wisdom that he penned in a paper and preach in tapes. What are you investing in? The man E.N. Bones, known as the apostle of prayer, invested his tears and his labor of prayer, and there was no way his name will not be immortalized. He was recognized for the revolutionary prayer life he had. He invested his tears in the soil and his name was immortalized. And even heaven knew that a man had prayed.
What are you investing in? Is there any altar? Is there any humanitarian service? Is there any property? These three things are important. I'm going to teach deep on what it means to have property, humanitarian, and altar. I'm going to teach, but not today. What are you investing in? Is there any city you build for God? Is there any altar you build for God? If after giving you the Holy Ghost and the wisdom and the health, and you don't bring people to the kingdom of God, you are a bad investment and you are useless to the kingdom of God. This is the danger. You are useless to the kingdom, because that servant who refused to bring profit to his master was cast into the darkness. The work of God must not suffer in your hand. Invest in the altar. It will give you eternal value. Praise God. Shall we rise on our feet? Lord, give me the grace. Shadi Balaya. Eternally, you are beautiful. Eternally, you are glorious. Eternally, eternally, you are God. I want you to pray tonight that, oh God, the wisdom to invest in my today and my tomorrow, release upon my life. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. Shaka paragadebia dadaya. The wisdom to invest in my today and my tomorrow, Father, release upon my life. Shadi Bradanda Gadara Bakatosia. Lekuta Prada Gasazayadaya. The wisdom to invest in my future. The wisdom to invest in my today. The wisdom to invest in my tomorrow. The wisdom to invest in my family. The wisdom to invest in my children. The wisdom to invest in my generation. The wisdom to invest in my nation. Father, release upon me in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Today the name Apostle Ayodele Babalola became popular. The name is immortalized because of his investment in the kingdom. A man some time ago who was a great minister of God right now, he has a mountain that is overseeing. He said, I wanted to fast, and the Lord said, I didn't ask you to fast. Your father already fasted all the fasting you needed to fast. A man has fasted on behalf of his son and his sons, and then the investment is producing miracles and results right now. Lord, the wisdom to invest into my tomorrow for eternal value and everlasting impact, Lord, release upon me. Are you praying already? Lord, the wisdom to invest. People make money and they eat it all. People make money and they finish everything. People make money and nobody know that any money has even reached them before. Some have seen a millionaire. Some have seen 2 million. But if you look at their life, they don't have more than shoe and clothes. They have phones, Blackberries, iPhone 10, iPhone 10R, iPhone 10X. Is that your investment? Is that the best you can do? Are you immortalized? Are you investing in the kingdom? You need to pray. Lord, the wisdom to invest in my future. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I decree upon your life the wisdom for investment that will give you a generational impact is coming upon you this day in the name of Jesus. You will not miss it anymore.
I say you will not miss it anymore. The grace to invest bountifully into your future, receive in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree that the humanitarian service that is needed to immortalize your name, God will grant unto you in the name of Jesus. The wisdom to invest in properties that will give your name relevance after you have long gone, receive in the mighty name of Jesus. The grace to invest in altars that will give you eternal value, receive in the name of Jesus. You will not die ordinary. You will not die ordinary. I decree that the capital that you need for investment, the Lord is revealing to you in the name of Jesus. It is well with you today. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, you are making generational impact. You will not die like me and me. You will not die without impact. In the name of Jesus, your life, your children, your generation will recognize you and reckon with you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ.
Please, let's remember that this Friday is our vigil, and we need to invite people for the vigil and let them come.